Quickly switch over to Ephesians chapter 4. What we're going to talk about today is the edification and perfection of the body. All right? The edification and perfection of the body. And I know how some have taught this, and as far as what which is perfect has come means. But as I have studied it out, I do not believe it means what they have said it means. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and we'll look at that and see what the Lord leads in this. Let's pray. Father, we need you, Lord. We pray you bless us now and help us from your holy word. Lord, we need it so badly. Edification, perfection in the body, that should be the goal. That's what you want for us. Help us to accomplish that in your will, in your time, and in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want you to look at the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he talks about charity, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, that charity is the bond of perfectness. Now you think about that. So what he's saying is that love of God, that charity of God, is the bond of perfection to the body. So then that should be our aim. Our aim should be love. Our aim should be perfection. What does that mean exactly? Well, that word perfection means complete, whole. It doesn't mean sinless, okay? As you've heard that term, sinless perfection, which is impossible on this side, though some men think it is, but it's not. It should be our goal, by the way. We should always have a goal not to sin. Nobody has to sin, amen? A saved person doesn't have to sin. Well, I have to. I'm enslaved to my sin nature. No, you're not. Not if you're saved. Amen. You're fooling yourself. Somebody preached you something different. No, you're not. Think about that. All right. As we see here, he says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part. Now, look at the words. He says, for we know in part. So he's speaking of this body, and they know some things in part, okay, part of it, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 4, but I want you to take this thought with you as we go over there. The one thing I want you to understand in what he's saying here. Now, I've heard this taught two ways, okay? I've heard the first way I've been taught is that which is perfect would come is some people say that's the King James Bible or that's the canonization of Scripture. But I want to tell you why I don't believe that. I don't believe that, number one. The first reason I don't believe that is because in order to say that, we would have to say that they didn't have the words of God at that time. It means that they didn't have it. Now, they had the Old Testament, which Paul said, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. They had the perfect words of God. Now, did they have the King James Bible? Absolutely not. They didn't have it in its entirety. We understand that. However, let me say, though, that is one school of thought. I've heard that school of thought that it's the Bible, it's the canonization of the Scriptures, and that's what it is. Now, let me also say this. Listen closely. There isn't any person in this room that should ever doubt whether I believe this is the perfect, inspired, infallible Word of God, okay? There's no question about this. I believe the numbers are inspired. Amen? All right? I believe all of it is. And let me say this also, that there is no way that you can perfect a body without the center of it being the words of the living God. Do you understand that? So no body can be perfected. No church can be perfected without this. They will be incomplete. They will not be that perfect man. But what is he talking about here? The second way I've heard this, and I believe it to be true, the second way I've heard this is speaking of the perfection of the body. That God wants the body to be perfect. And he does. What does that mean? Perfect, mature, whole, complete. Grown up. Amen? It's talking about being grown up. That's what it means. When it says perfect and complete and mature. He said, what do you mean by that? Well, look what he says here. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's talking about, you know, being a kid versus being an adult. Okay? That's the context. What's he been talking about all through these chapters? The body. He's addressing the body in its perfection. He says, you know in part, and you do all these things in part. But you're supposed to be the perfect man. That body is supposed to be the perfect man that does it all complete, whole, together, perfected, one. That's what he's saying here, I believe. And let's see, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll bounce back and forth here, okay? There'll be a few things that we come back to on this, because God's goal for the church, what God wants for the church, is for it to be perfect, complete, mature. That's what he wants it to be. That's what he wants you to be. In the body, he wants you complete, mature, and perfect. And let me just say this, without this Bible, you cannot be that. If this church is based on anything else but these scriptures, then it will not be perfect. It cannot be perfect. So you see how you can't discount the notion that the Bible is that which is perfect, because it is. But you also discount the fact that the body is commanded to be perfect and whole and complete. So it's together. It's the same thing. God has the goal to be the same, and you can't have one without the other. For instance, let me ask you a question. Do you believe you can be a perfected Christian outside of a local New Testament church, not part of the body? No. You could be mature in some ways. You could learn some things. You could have a lot of knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Now let me ask you a question. If you're not in the local church, if you're not part of the body, who can you edify? Charity edifieth. Perfection edifieth. So how in the world can you do that when you're not part of the body? That's why he gave you the gifts. That's what he's saying. He said, I gave you all of these gifts. What did I give them for? For the body. It's for the body. It's not for you to go be an island unto yourself. It's not for you to be an island unto yourself and do everything your own way. And I'll figure it out on my own. I'll do it all myself. No, it doesn't work that way. And why is that? Because the only way you're going to be able to be effective for the Lord is in the body. Exercising those. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and see what the Apostle Paul says here. He says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Well, who's he speaking to? He's talking to the Ephesians. What is he doing? Well, let me ask you a question. If you're not a big boy, Brother Paul, we don't send 10-year-old boys off to war, do we? Why not? They're not mature. Why? Well, their bodies are not mature. I've got a 9-year-old son back there. There's no way that he could go off to war and fight. Why? He's a boy. He's still playing with toys. Okay, so let me ask you this. Why is it at the end of the chapter, or at the end of the book, Ephesians chapter 6, where he deals with the spiritual armor? Why? Because he's trying to illustrate to you that you first have to you have to grow up in the Lord, and then you've got to put that armor on, and then you've got to go fight. But you can't do it as an immature, weak bunch of, a group of people that are acting in part and not together as a body. Why? Because you need a body that's strong to put that armor on. Boys don't put on armor to fight. Men put on armor to fight. And he's talking about edification for what? For perfection. Not for you to go out and live your own life or be a part of the body, but act outside of it independently of it and act like you're going to get through everything on your own. Hey, I'm just fine. I can do it on my own. No, you can't. And you can't heal on your own. And you can't fight on your own. Because God made you to be in a body. That's what he made you for. Now, we understand that we individually have to live for God. We understand that as far as we have to make that decision. But God, see, people look at the scripture so foreign today. It's such an absolute foreign. They don't see the church there. That what they see is, oh, we're just a bunch of Christians out there living for God all out on our own everywhere, and this is just the way we are. They don't see that, no, God meant you to be in the body. And when I say a body, I'm talking about the local New Testament church. That's what I'm talking about, okay? Now, again, I'm not picking on people who don't have one. I've already illustrated that in many sermons. I get what's going on out there, okay? And I'm going to tell you, the letters that I get from people, there's no way in the world that I'd go to the churches that they won't step foot in. I wouldn't either. Because they've been in them, and they've wrote me and said, this pastor is teaching this, and they don't even believe the King James Bible, and they want you to use this, and they're doing that, and they got witchcraft in the church, and all these other things. Well, no, I wouldn't go there either. I do my best to find something, though, as best I could. Amen. So I get it. I'm not picking on anybody. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. He says here, verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. There he goes with that charity again, that love. Amen. What's that charity? The bond of perfectness. Bond of perfectness. Right? That's that love. That's why you can forbear one another. That's why you can put up with one another. That's why you don't think evil of your brother right away. When something happens, you know, automatically think evil of them. Amen. Think about it. We already went through that. Listen to that again if you haven't listened to it. Or that didn't make any sense. Listen to it anyway. The world. Maybe you listened to it, but you weren't listening to it. Amen. Maybe that's true. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There he goes with that bond again. Do you find it interesting what he says here? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Paul is talking about being a prisoner of God. And then he talks about bonds, but he's saying, hey, it's the bond of love. He's a prisoner for the Lord's sake in a bond of love. And there are too many people today that don't want to be bound with the local church. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why. One of the major reasons why they don't want to is they don't want to be accountable to anybody. They want to think that they can serve God their own way and worship their own way and do everything their own way. Amen. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your call, of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That'll mess some people up. All right, I don't have time for that today. I'm going to keep moving. All right, I don't have time for that today. But anyway, let's keep moving. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Remember, this letter is to a body. It's to the Ephesians. He's writing a letter to them. And he's saying, listen, you got the same Father. And he's above all. And he's and through all and in you all. As you're children of God. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now he sounds like what we learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 12, right? Paul, do you find that Paul is having to give more of a revelation, but he's also having to give more of the same lesson to another church? He's giving the same lesson to another church, only here he's going to expound on it. And he's going to really lay out what everything is, why everything's being done the way it is. But look, it says according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What did he do? Gave victory, gave gifts through the Holy Ghost. Like I said before, everybody has gifts. Not everybody has the same gift, but everybody has gifts. Some have more. Some have numerous ones. Some may be single. Wherefore he saith when he ascended up on high. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now he's going to talk about what he gave. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Amen? And some pastors and teachers. Notice that pastors and teachers is together. Do you see that? The pastor, one of the pastor's primary jobs is to teach the sheep. Now, he can let somebody else do it, obviously, and exercise their gift. But when it's all said and done, he's going to answer to God for what's taught. Amen? He's going to answer to God for what's taught. Now, other men can edify, other men can teach, but the ministry of edification, the direction of that, of teaching is by the pastor or pastors, whichever way you look at it. But that is the design. That's what God designed, because he gave them as gifts. And the evangelists. Look, the evangelists, it's a gift. They're gifts to the church. Amen? They exercise those the gift of evangelism, but they are gifts as well that God has given. And they're very important. And not everybody is going to be an evangelist in there. Not everybody's going to be that evangelist. Amen? By the way, that apostle means sent one as well. Now, we know they're not apostolic in the sense of apocalyptic powers and that they had seen Jesus Christ, but the term of it is what? The term of apostle means sent one. So technically speaking, Brother Russ will be a sent one. Amen? But I'm not calling him Apostle Russ, okay? I'm just not doing it. But but he is. That is a church planter, that is an apostle, and that is Brother Paul is an evangelist. All right, he has the gift of evangelism, he also is an evangelist. He goes out there and evangelizes, and it's what God has called him to do. And that is a gift to the body. And it needs to be exercised. But guess what? It says to the church. It does it, and he is speaking to a local church. He is speaking to the Ephesians. The church at Ephesus. And he's telling them that God gave apostles. God gave prophets. Those that prophesy. Amen. And by the way, the church was founded upon the prophets and the apostles and Christ. Amen. That was the foundation. Obviously, the foundation stone is Christ. Amen. But those were the other blocks in there. Prophets, apostles and prophets. Amen. That's how God founded it. Wrap your brain around that for a little while. But he says here that they're gifts and they're needed in the body. They are gifted to the body for a purpose, though. When there's people out there that are calling themselves evangelists and they're not members of local New Testament churches and they don't edify their body and they don't work to the, they're not following Scripture. Why? Because the Bible says they were given to the church. Amen. Not some universal invisible body, but to that body right there they were given to. He's speaking to people, okay? I know we try to make this more difficult than what it is, but it's very simple. Anyway, so he goes on to say, he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? Look at this. For the perfecting of the saints. So now we go back and we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see here that he says that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. We don't want to be children anymore. He's saying, yeah, you get saved and you're a child in the faith. But he says, guess what? That body has to grow up. Amen? There has to be some grow up there. A child has to be put away childish things and become a man. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints. For what purpose? There's that word perfecting, though. I want you to think about that word. We just seen that when that which is perfect is come. You prophesy in part. This is in part. A glass darkly. By the way, we have the King James Bible. We still don't have all knowledge of it. You understand that, right? So to say that when that which is perfect has come, then all of these other things will be done away with, all these other gifts will be done away with. So now that we have the King James Bible, then nobody prophesies, nobody edifies, nobody's an apostle, nobody's an evangelist, we're done with those things? No. No, you take this perfect book and you edify your brethren with it to the perfection of the saints. You see, it goes hand in hand. One doesn't go without the other. But what have we found today? Well, I have the Bible, so I don't need the body. You lost it, friend, right there. You've lost it. No, that's not. But see, that's what the danger is in that type of a teaching. Well, you know, you have the perfect word of God, and you do. I believe it. You won't talk me out of it. Believe me, I've had a lot of men try, but they can't talk me out of it. I know what it is. I know it's perfect. I know it's infallible. I know it's inspired. I know there's not one error in it. Amen. But I also know that He gave the body for a reason. And he gave gifts in the body for a reason. For the edification of the saints. Amen. For the edification, for the perfection of the saints. He says here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. See that? For the work of the ministry. And guess what? You don't get to have your ministry outside of the body. All right, you don't get to say, "Well, I got a ministry." No. You see, this ministry that he's talking about in Ephesians 4 has pastors and teachers and evangelists in a body. They're not just out there with no accountability and calling themselves an evangelist to do whatever they want to do. Where do you see that at? You don't see it in here. It's not part of it, is it? No. There's a body. Amen. It's part of that body. It's for the purpose of it. It says for the work of the ministry. Amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, let's talk about the edification of some saints way out in, you know, Alaska. Well, not directly, but they benefit from it. The other Christians will benefit from the edification of and the ministry of this ministry here, of what we do here. Others will benefit from it. And we're glad that we can take food, spiritual food, to people all over the world and feed them the truth. But we also understand that it's the local church. If this wasn't here right now, there'd be a lot of people out there that would not be fed. If we didn't follow these commands, then there are people that are scattered abroad that would not be fed by the Word of God. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for that church. You see, there's so many people that say, well, I can just listen to sermons and I can just do this and I can just do that. And I don't need a church. No, you do. You need the fellowship and you need the edification of the saints. And you need strength, friend. And you get that strength by being bonded together. Amen? And you are needed by others. They need you. They need edified by you. Let's not be selfish. Now, again, I'm not telling people to listen to this because you understand where I'm coming from, but others will listen to this, and I'll save the questions and the emails that will come my way for it. I'm not telling you to go to a wicked church just to be a part, say, well, I'm part of a body. No, don't do that. Nobody's saying to do that, okay? Nobody's saying that, because I wouldn't do that, okay? I wouldn't do that either. And I wouldn't expect anybody else to. That's why you have a Brother Paul that moved from Texas. Brother Russ driving miles. Others driving miles to get here. Amen. That's why. Because you want to be a part of a body that is following the Scriptures. So, I get it. I understand that. But the point of this is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till what? Look at 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Look at this. See that word unity? It's based on truth. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, look at that, unto a perfect man. Now, if you're keeping notes, look at the perfecting of the saints, look at the perfect there, now, and then go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and look at the perfect that is there. When that which is perfect is come. He is talking about when that body matures. Does it ever hit that full maturity level? Probably not. But it's to be working towards it. Because we will never be completely that way on this side. But we can be perfected. We can be complete and whole. We can be that. So we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. He says here, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal, folks. That's why he gave some pastors. That's why he gave some evangelists. That's why he gave some apostles. That's why he gave some prophets. That's what he gave gifts to the church for. That's the purpose, for them to be perfected. It was not for you, like we covered under other chapters, it was not for you to vaunt yourself above your brethren, to puff up in knowledge, or to cause schisms in the body, or cause problems, or for you to act independently on your own. He is speaking of perfection, and he is saying that the body needs to come to that perfection. Now, I'm not the judge of when that body is perfect. So don't think that I'm saying that I know when that is complete. No, God says this is his order. Follow it. This is the perfection. This is what I want you, until you come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a goal. Amen? As a body, that's a goal. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man with the measure of the stature. Look at that. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what is he talking about? Now, remember when we talked about, as I spake as a child, and I was a child, and then I put away childish things? Look what he says next. Do you see why I'm saying that it's the perfection of the body that is being covered here? Because look what he's saying here next. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. What is he talking about? He's saying, look, if you're out there on your own, you know how many people I've seen leave churches because they follow false doctrines and they follow right out the door? But if they were to come and talk to a group of men and sit down and say, well, let's talk about this doctrine, what would happen? They'd be challenged. Then they wouldn't be able to act rash. And they would have to, they would no more be a child tossed to and fro. But the body as well, he's speaking as a whole of the body. And he's saying here that should be no more children. He says that we henceforth, moving forward, church at Ephesus, moving forward, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, when you're mature, when a body is mature, they don't, when they hear something, it doesn't shake them off their foundations. Why do you think devils come into new churches a lot and they like to come in there and do Bible studies? They like to do different things like that. Why do you think people like to come in and do those things to young churches? I'm amazed and how many people came our way over the years that really seemed like they had a desire to try to change me or change this church. They wanted to influence it in a way. They didn't want to be a part of the body. What they wanted to do was change the body. They wanted to unleash a disease in the body. They wanted to inject it with something. They wanted to cause some kind of damage in the body. They weren't here to edify one another. They wanted to do some changing. They wanted to find some children and toss them to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And they're out there. And that's why we stand firm on the things we do here. On the ordinances. I'm going to tell you something. Those ordinances have saved this body on more than one occasion. From heretics and others coming in here. Yeah. When you follow the ordinances the way that God put them down, guess what? Most people don't want to be a part of that because it all comes down to authority. And when I don't accept some Pentecostal baptism, guess what happens? Those people that want to come in there and bring that in here won't be able to. Because those ordinances are a safeguard to purity in the body. Amen? They keep out who's supposed to be out and in who's supposed to be in. Amen? Oh, you're just too Baptist. Okay. I'm okay with that. Whatever you want to call it that, I guess. Because I actually know what it means. You want to sit down with me and let me prove it to you? Amen.
All right. He says here that we henceforth be no more children. So then he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. You see this? He's saying that we may grow up into him in all things. He's talking about the body growing to what? To match its head. Christ. Look what he says here. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Now look what he says here. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What does that mean? Well, if one of the joints aren't here, you're not supplying. Because every joint supplies the other. Fitly compacted. Do you see that? Together as a body. Fitly compacted. That means that each one of you have a place in this body, like we talked about earlier. Each one of you are important to this body. Each joint supplieth. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure, look at this, of every part. Making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There it is, the edification. You see it? In love. So then he starts to talk about how you're not supposed to walk and how put you on the Lord. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 10, he says this, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, what did I do? I put away childish things. So he's saying, Corinthians, all your squabbles, all your arguments, all your schisms, all your I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ, I am of Cephas, all of those things, all of your gifts, Corinthians, that you're vaunting against one another, that you're using against one another, all of these things, you're missing it. You're acting like children, and it's time to grow up and work together as a body, following its head in love. Because why? Because that love or that charity is the bond of perfectness. That's why. And above all these things, he said, put on charity. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It is the bond that bonds it all together. But the purpose of it is what? That we would be perfect. Don't you understand? God didn't save you so you could live outside of his local church. He didn't save you so you weren't. He died for the body. Amen. That's what he died for. He didn't save you so you could go out and just do whatever you want to do and say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm out there on my own battling. Where do you find that anywhere in the scriptures? Where do you see that? All of these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, he wrote them to local churches. And he said, this follow in all the churches. That was what he wrote it for. He wrote it for that purpose. God led him to do that. Listen, you're not going to be the perfected saint out there on your own without a body. There's always going to be a part of you missing something. And you're going to be missed somewhere. I want you to think about this. Even people that listen around the country and everywhere else, if you hear a body or a church that you agree with, then pray about it and do whatever you can biblically to get there and be a part of that body. Because it is that important to God. And it is that important for you to grow and for your edification and for your perfecting. Because even though you have this perfect King James Bible, you don't have all knowledge. And you can't be the only one that edifies you. You have to be edified by your brethren. And you have to be a part of that body. And you've got to be working together with that. And in the battle. Why? Because you can't have Ephesians chapter 6. Nobody is just a soldier of their own army. We're going to talk about this a little bit with Brother Russ later in his ordination message. But listen to me. You don't. Who goeth to warfare on his own charges? You're out there by yourself with no other army fighting and battling for the Lord on your own. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You need that edification. You need that work of the that perfection of the saints. And it happens in His body. It doesn't happen anywhere else. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved and you can't be a Christian or anything like that, but you're never going to be what God wants you to be, and you're never going to be perfected when you're out there trying to do it all on your own. This is that mentality that we have today, that people think, well, I can just accomplish this all on my own, and I can do this, and I can do that. No, you can't. You can't. Where do you get that at? Where do you get that in the Scriptures that you can do all that on your own? I had somebody do that. I had a lady one time tell me that she baptized her own children. I said, you didn't baptize anybody. She said, well, I was worried about it, so I baptized them in the bathtub. That isn't baptism. You gave them a bath. I'm happy for you that you did that. But you didn't scripturally baptize them according to scriptural authority. Amen? Amen. You didn't. Because you need a body to do that. You need a church. Why? Because He gave some pastors and teachers, some evangelists, some apostles, some prophets. Amen? He gave them for what? For the work of the ministry. And you know, I know people that have been saved for 30 years and they just can't submit to a body. They can't go in there and dwell together and live. You know why? Too much selfishness on all sides. There isn't anyone in this church right now that can't love and edify the other person. Amen. Whoever they are. There isn't one person that can't do that. Because God brought you here to do that. So you could be perfected. Not just because somebody else needs it, but because you do. There's a lot of people out there that think that they can get by on their own. That's not what this says. It doesn't work. There's no accountability to it. Oh, I could just live independently of it. And then when your children go to hell and you watch them go to hell, then you sit back and say, but I'm a Christian. I don't understand why that happened. Well, maybe it was because you ignored His body. Maybe because you ignored the principles of His body. Maybe it's because you didn't think you needed to be a part of one. And maybe they don't need to be a part of one now that they're grown up. And because you didn't respect the authority of God's church and those bodies that are there and the body that was formed there, then they don't respect your authority either. Amen. Right. That's right, how to raise a rebel, and you will raise one. When you ignore biblical authority, you'll raise one. But folks, that's not why He saved us. He saved us so we would be in the body, and He gave those gifts unto the body, and He gave those men unto the body, and He gave them for that purpose. And He gave you to the body, and you are part of that body, and we're all going to be working together as one. Children say, well, I've got my part, and I've got my part, and I do, and I have my gift, and I have this, and I have that. You're missing it. You know, that sounds like a child, doesn't it? Have you ever heard that? You know how children, oh, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this, and I can, and they're always talking about themselves. Paul says, well, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And when you put on that bond of perfectness, when you put that on in the body, guess what happens? You can grow. When you put others first in the body, when you see that your life does matter, when you're not there, it does matter. When you're not faithful to God, it does matter. And not only to you, but to everybody else around you and to those that are watching you. It matters. And they see it. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. That's what He said. And He said it was for the edification. He said it was for the perfection. I hope you understand that. I hope you see that. That God wants the body to be edified, and He wants it to be perfected. Perfect.
complete. You can't get that way without the Word of God being the center. Amen. You'll never get that way. When Paul finishes this, he says, we see. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now by faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. He goes on to say in chapter 14, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. And then I'm not going to go through that today, but what Paul goes into there is he talks about how you want to speak in tongues and you want to do this gift and you want to do that gift. But he said that doesn't edify anybody but you. When you're in that body, you come together. It's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about all of us following our head, which is Christ. And growing up into perfection. You know how many 30-year-old babies we have out there that have been saved for 30 years? And they're babies. They know nothing of the Word of God. They know nothing of it. They can't explain their faith to anybody. They don't have a record of living for God to show for anything in their lives. Yet so saved as by fire. Wood, hay, and stubble. They don't have what the body, they don't have, and many times it's because they're not part of the body. They're not part of a local church. They're not working together in that body for the perfection of the saints. Folks, that's what it's about. It's not about you just being saved from hell. Do you know how many people out there today think that this life is about being saved from hell? Well, I trust Jesus and I'm saved from hell. You know, that's great. I'm saved from hell too. Amen. I'm happy to be saved from hell. But you know what? That's all you get out of salvation. That's all you think that he raised you up to perfect you. Why? So why? We're not going to get into that today, but I'm going to give you a hint. Here's why. Because we see in Ephesians 5, he finishes off with the body, and then he gets into Ephesians 6, and what does he do? He says, for we wrestle not against... We, Ephesus, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What are we doing? Well, you got to get that armor on because there's a war now. See, you're a body now, and you can't go out and fight. Brother Paul, what would happen to you if they dropped you off in Afghanistan for a war and you had no armor? You'd be dead, wouldn't you? So what's he say to that? Everybody says, well, that's just a single person. No, it's both. It's you have to have your armor on, and the body has to be armed. Because Brother Russ just doesn't go out by himself and go start a church. He's not a lone soldier out there just going to start a church. No, this body is putting its armor on and going out and battling. It's the body that battles. And they're not lone soldiers going out just on their own charges for their own control and for their own sake and for their own glory. That's not what it's about. It's about this body arming up, putting its armor on. Because what did he take you through? He says, well, first, I'm teaching you, Ephesus, that Jews, Gentiles, all in one body. You're all saved. You're all part of this local church. That you're one body. He goes in Ephesians chapter 2, explains to them how they're saved and how they're supposed to be working and how they were on the course of this world. And now they're not. They're saved. Ephesians chapter 3 gets a little bit deeper into the lessons up there. And we get to 4 and he starts talking about why God did all this in the first place. Why he had all this. Why this was his design. For the edification of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. That's the purpose of the assembly. Amen? And then he gets into 6, and what is he telling you in 6? Now it's time to get that armor on, because there's a war going on out there. And the devil's out there, and we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It is not you. Listen to me. It is not you against the world, the flesh and the devil. It's not you against the principalities and powers. It's us against the principalities and power, armed and ready to go to war, which we'll talk about next week. Father, thank you so much for your word. Help us understand it. Help us to live by it, Lord. Help us understand this. Dear God, we can't be warriors on our own out there just trying to battle. No, the devil's going to see one of us and take us out one at a time. Dear God, we need unity. We need perfection. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.